Let us pray.
Almighty, eternal, and merciful God, whose word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path, open and illumine our minds that we may purely and perfectly understand your word, and that our lives may be conformed according to what we rightly understood, that in nothing we may be pleasing to your majesty. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear congregation of Christ, just this last week, a choir posted a song on YouTube with these words included. And I will quote these words. "We'll convert your children, happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. We'll convert your children. Yes, we will. Reaching one and all. There's really no escaping it. We're coming for them. We're coming for your children. The gay agenda is coming home. The gay agenda is here." And so who sang these words? You probably have an idea. It was the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. Not surprisingly, this song was hardly publicized in the mainstream news media. The only news media that mentioned it was Yahoo News, which no one pays attention to. These liberals know that the so-called gay agenda to convert our children is opposed by a majority of Americans. So they are silent about this despicable song. What's striking is that in 2004, Pew Research found out that 60% of Americans opposed same-sex marriage, while only 31% approved. That was in 2004. 15 years later, in 2019, this opposition vanished into thin air. 61% approve of same-sex marriage and only 31% disapprove. Last Sunday, we continued our sermon series on Romans chapters 1 to 3, focusing on the suppression of the truth by unbelievers that God is the creator of the universe. They see the majestic and complex creation around them, but instead of worshiping the Creator, they worship creation. The sun, moon, and stars, mountains, rocks, and trees, seas, and rivers. These are the things that they worship instead. Therefore, they are without excuse, because they know that there is a God who created these things. So on Judgment Day, they cannot tell God that they did not know that he existed. Then why do they suppress the truth? Romans 1 says, because of their ungodliness and unrighteousness. And the outcome of this wickedness is that they became fools, their hearts were darkened, and they ultimately became idolaters. Therefore, they are under God's wrath. In our text today, we read that Paul then gives us concrete evidence of this wickedness and idolatry among unbelievers. And what is this evidence? It is what the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir is so proud of, what the liberal culture glorifies in, and what the present administration promotes and even tries to shove into the throats of everyone, including faithful churches. As a result, Paul emphatically says three times in these verses, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts. What does he mean by God giving them up? And the total depravity of these unbelievers goes far beyond their own wicked lusts. They advocate them and do all in their evil power to convert everyone, including our little children. And so our meditation today is God gave them up under two headings. And I will direct you to our sermon notes for these two headings. So first, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts. And second, God gave them up to a debased mind. So I will dwell on the first point more extensively than the second. So the first thing is that God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts. Because of their ungodliness and unrighteousness, Paul writes that God gave them up three times in verses 24, 26, and 28. So what does Paul mean by this? The Greek word used by Paul here is the same Greek word used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. So a couple of examples will suffice. In Joshua 6, verse 2, before the walls of Jericho fell before the Israelites, God assured Joshua, and God said to him, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor." And the reverse is also true of God giving Israel into the hands of its enemies because of their idolatry. So we read in Judges 2:14. "So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them." In the same way, Paul says that God gave unbelievers up to their wickedness. How does God do this giving up? Some scholars say that it is in the passive sense. That is, God withdraws or withholds the restraint of the Holy Spirit from them so that they are left to do their own wickedness. We know that the world will implode on its own if not for the Holy Spirit's restraining action. Without the Holy Spirit's restraint, our world will be engulfed with violence due to idolatry, rebellion, murder, adultery, stealing, and lying, until it is completely destroyed. All the world's inhabitants, including us, will be idolaters, rebels, murderers, adulterers, thieves, and liars, if not for the Holy Spirit. We will all be utterly depraved, like the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. But God's action is not merely passive. Paul uses the active sense. God himself gave them up. So one scholar says that God initiates the process of unbelievers descending into the pit of wickedness. God does not merely let go of a boat of unbelievers being carried away by the current. He actually gives it a push downstream. But some will then accuse God of being the author of sin. No, he is not, and he cannot, for it is impossible, for he does not and cannot tempt anyone to sin. James 1:13. Note that Paul says, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts to impurity. So we read this truth in Ephesians 4:19. Paul says they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And so before God gave them up, they were already wicked. Remember the Israelites in the desert, grumbling against Moses and God, and against God. They said that they would rather have been slaves back in Egypt rather than die in the desert of hunger and disease and killed by their enemies. And so what did God do? God granted them their wish, making them wander in the wilderness for 40 years towards Egypt. And in the process, all the adults that came out of Egypt 40 years before died in the desert. And so be careful what you wish for. Note also the parallelism that Paul uses. He says that unbelievers exchange the truth about God for a lie. And what is this lie? It is the lie that there is no God, the Creator, therefore they worship creatures rather than the God who created them. Although they know that it is a lie, they believe it because they do not want to be accountable to Him for their wickedness. Then in verses 26 and 27, Paul gives us two concrete examples of human depravity because God gave them up to dishonorable passions. So obviously, these two examples are not popular with our present culture. So what I'll be saying here might even get me canceled again on Facebook and YouTube. So first, Paul says, their women exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. In the ancient Greco-Roman world, homosexuality was not that uncommon. Many Roman emperors, many Roman emperors practiced homosexuality, including the more famous ones, Caligula, Nero, and perhaps Julius and Augustus, the emperor at Jesus' birth. But lesbianism was not common. And so Paul is in effect saying, even your women were so depraved that they also became homosexuals. This was how far down the pit of wickedness the ancient unbelieving world of the Greeks and Romans have gone. How is our culture today different from theirs? There is no difference whatsoever. Also, Paul did not mention here that lesbianism was not biblical, because it was not known by all Christians that the Old Testament, particularly in Leviticus 18 and what we read in Leviticus 20, prohibited sexual relationship between two men. Note that Paul says that these kinds of relationships are not natural. They are against God's design of nature at creation. God created human beings, male and female, and sexual relationships must be confined between a man and a woman in marriage. So if homosexual relationships among men are unnatural, lesbianism is also unnatural. So we see this in the created order. Animals, birds, insects, even the simplest forms of living creatures only have male and female relationships. Why? Because this is God's way of preserving the living creatures He made, especially human beings. This is why in our form for marriage ceremony, it says, by marriage, the human race is to be continued and increased. But the homosexual culture is a culture of death. A culture of death. If the human race becomes totally homosexual, it will eventually die. This is all too obvious. But we read, medical and scientific technology has helped promote the idea that transgender men can also become pregnant like biological women. Again, this is purely unnatural because only by very advanced medical and scientific knowledge and technology can a male become pregnant. This is absolutely opposed to God's natural order of His creation. So Paul condemns lesbianism as under the wrath of God. Second, he also condemns male homosexuals when he says, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Again, he says, this is unnatural. In addition, he calls homosexual practices shameless acts. They are consumed by this unnatural fire that destroys them because of their unnatural lust. So why are homosexual practices called shameful acts? After Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they knew that they were naked. And so what did they do? They tried to cover their nakedness. They knew that they have sinned against God. And nakedness is a symbol of sinfulness. So they hid themselves from God, knowing their guilt. In contrast to Adam's feeling of shame and guilt, homosexual men practice shameless acts, ignoring the natural sense of guilt because of their sin. Therefore, in our statement of doctrine, in our church's statement of doctrine concerning marriage and sexuality, we read, marriage from the beginning is meant to be a single, exclusive union of one flesh between a man and a woman. And it also says, we also reject the identification of any new gender categories, such as agender, androgynous, bigender, gender fluid, transgender, and so on and so forth. And then it also says, we also reject all forms of sexual immorality, including adultery, fornication, homosexual behavior, bisexual conduct, bestiality, incest, sexual abuse, sexual harassment, and the use of pornography as sinful and offensive to God. Therefore, we reject the acceptance of LGBTQ plus as natural biblical forms of human sexuality. Paul condemns homosexuals in two other texts, in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, which we read earlier, and in 1 Timothy 1, 9 to 10. Liberals spin the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah as being inhospitable. But Jude, verse 7, is clear. It says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. So just as Sodom was consumed by fire, by the fire of God's wrath, so will homosexuals who are consumed by their passion for other men will be consumed by the fire of God's wrath. This is what Paul says the due penalty for their error, the fires of hell, of hell's judgment. Liberals perform all kinds of gymnastic contusions and contortions and twisting of these scriptures to justify their promotion of homosexuality. But why does Paul single out homosexuals in our text as those who are under God's wrath? Because they commit unnatural, unbiblical, shameless acts. Adultery, fornication, and other sexual relationships between a man and a woman are also under God's wrath. The difference is these sexual relationships are natural acts between a man and a woman. And so Paul singles out homosexuality because it is crystal clear to all people that it is unnatural. Most Christians believe that sin is sin, no matter how egregious it is. It is true that all human beings are sinful and sin results in death. But all sins are not all equal. Little white lies are not as evil as murder. A little shoplifting here and there is not as costly as kidnapping for millions in ransom. And so it's God's judgment, not all the same. Jesus himself says that the cities of Israel who rejected this gospel will suffer more terrible punishment from God than Sodom in Matthew 10 and 11. In our text, Paul did not use rebellion, murder, adultery, theft, and lying as examples of human depravity. What did he use? He used homosexuality. In the Old Testament law, we find penalties against unlawful acts that are commensurate with a crime. Unintentional murder, which is manslaughter, was not a capital offense. So were stealing, lying, disobedience to parents, and other minor offenses. But homosexuality, together with rape, incest, and bestiality, were capital offenses. Lastly, we do not have Rebel Pride Month, or Murderer Pride Month, or Thief Pride Month, or Adulterer Pride Month, or Drunkard Pride Month, or Junkie Pride Month. Only Gay Pride Month. Only homosexuals demand to be approved and celebrated. Which brings us to our next short point. God gave them up to a debased mind. Paul's third use of the words God gave them up is in verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Again, the reason why God gave them up is they reject God, though they know him as creator. Again, they do not worship him as God and give thanks to him for all the things he created for them. What is God's response to this rebellion against him? Again, God gave them what they wanted, a worthless mind of a fool. They are disqualified from having a true knowledge of God and his son Jesus Christ, who saves sinners from their debased mind. They will never acknowledge and understand the truths about God unless God gives them the Holy Spirit to transform their minds and hearts and their lives. Jesus taught the same in his parables. In Matthew 13, he says, to you, to his disciples, to you who believe in him, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, to outsiders, to those unbelievers, to them it has not been given. So Jesus reveals the truth of God to those whom God has chosen, but hides the truth to those whom God did not choose to save. And what is the outcome of this worthless mind of unbelievers? Paul lists a litany of wickedness in the last few verses. He says the result is unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice against neighbors. These are what we see all around us in our culture. Envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And not only in our culture today, but throughout these last days that began when Christ first came 2,000 years ago. These things have been present. Paul lists the same ungodly and unrighteous thoughts, words, and deeds in 2 Timothy 3. So Paul then condemns though these unbelievers in verse 32. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Again, Paul emphasizes that they have knowledge of God's righteous wrath against them. But even with this knowledge, they reject God because of their ungodly desires of the flesh. Paul condemns their practices, but there is an even worse condemnation. They approve and promote them. They even want to shove this wickedness down the throat of those who do not agree with them. Think, for example, of the TV shows that our children, your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren are watching. Nickelodeon, Disney, and Cartoon Networks used to be harmless and sometimes even educational shows. But in these last few months, they have added gays, lesbians, transgenders, and same-sex marriage to their children's shows, thereby teaching them that these are normal, natural, and good. For us adults, consider that in the last several years, almost all TV shows and movies include gay and lesbian sex scenes. Even TV commercials promote their wicked agenda. Dear friends, we all around us, we see God giving ungodly and unrighteous unbelievers over to their wicked passions. Homosexuality is not only unbiblical, rather it is also unnatural and obvious. It is Paul's example of an unbeliever's total depravity resulting from his rejection of God as Creator and Redeemer. We are all sinners, and we Christians must remember that if not for the restraining and transforming work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds, we would all be ungodly and unrighteous. So therefore, we must remember, even in all these things, that homosexuality is not an unforgivable sin. It is not an unforgivable sin. All sinners, including homosexuals, have hope that if the Holy Spirit works in their hearts, they will repent of their sin and be transformed. They will then have clean hands and a pure heart, striving to obey God's law, and thereby they can go to God's house of worship and be accepted by God. We have seen this in a few who have had a reverse coming out of the closet. They turn back from their homosexuality and transgenderism because our Lord Jesus Christ transformed their lives through His Word and His Spirit. Paul says in our earlier reading that all believers like us, like in their times, that all believers were formerly ungodly and unrighteous, even homosexuals. But then he says to believers, to us, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Nothing is impossible with God. We must pray for them, even speak to them about the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that saves us. He died for all the sins of all who believe in Him, including those of homosexuals. Therefore, James encourages us with these words. Whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will, save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Let us pray. Almighty Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving for revealing yourself through us through your word and spirit. Your word that we have heard today are difficult for us, not because we do not understand it, but because it is unacceptable in most of our culture today. And we face ridicule, harassment, and even persecution when we preach the truths of your word. We pray that we may not fall into the same false worship, disobedient lives, and unrepentant hearts of unbelievers. We praise you for Jesus Christ, who removed your wrath against us by offering his own body and blood on the cross for all our sins. Our only hope for salvation from your coming wrath is your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.